Okay, thank you, John. A word of warning before we start. I've been told sometimes that I'm difficult to understand because of my thick Scottish accent. But I also have talking through a cold at the moment, so you'll have to forgive me for that. But why don't we read this psalm that's on the sheets in front of you, and then we'll begin. So Psalm 121, A Song of Ascent. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you for the chance to take some time out in the middle of the day to look at your word together. Father, we thank you that you speak to us personally through your word. We pray that we'd be attentive to what you have to say to us, and please change us through it. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Now, a long time ago, I went to university and did an accounting degree. And sandwiched in between the various courses, I found time to do a basic course on psychology in my second year. Now, one of the only things I can remember from that course is something called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. And this is a theory that a guy called Alfred Maslow put forward in 1943. And it says, as humans meet their basic needs, they seek to satisfy higher needs that occupy a set hierarchy. And starting from the bottom, he said our most basic need was, our needs were physiological. So we all need to eat and sleep and breathe and so on. So I think we'd agree with that. And above these basic needs, he said the next set of needs could be summarized with the word safety. So we need to feel physically secure, that our jobs are secure, that our families are safe, that our houses won't be burgled and so on. Now, I don't necessarily agree with all that he said about our other needs, but I think he was right in identifying that core need that we have for feeling safe and secure. If we feel safe and protected in our lives, then we feel free to live the rest of our lives without worry. But as we know, there's many things in 21st century Britain today that threaten our sense of security. Examples could be terrorism, crime, or illness. And this Psalm 121 that we're looking at today is a song that addresses that basic human need of safety and security and asks where it comes from. Now, this psalm is part of a group of psalms called the Songs of Ascent. If you look at Psalm 123 to Psalm 134 in your Bible, you'll see each one's got the title A Song of Ascent at the top. And when these songs were written, Old Testament Jews living outside Jerusalem would make pilgrimages to Jerusalem to worship there. And these songs were ones they would sing on their journey up to Jerusalem. So as we look at this song, try to imagine a pilgrim on a long, hot journey. And he's looking forward to reaching his destination, and he's singing this song to keep his spirits up. Now, if you look down at the psalm now on the sheet, hopefully you should see one particular word repeated throughout. If you look for the word keep, you'll see it in verses 3 and verses 4, 5, 7, and 8. Now, this word keep could also be translated as guard or protect. So the overriding theme in this song is one of being kept safe or protected. It talks to us of security and where it comes from. And so it talks to us today, if we worry about our security, whether it be emotional, physical, financial, related to anything else. So what we're going to do now is we're going to look through this psalm and find out four things. And these things are on your sheet in front of you. First of all, we're going to look at who's the keeper, and then who does he keep, and then how effective is his keeping, and then what does he keep his people safe from. So first of all, who is the keeper? The first question the pilgrim on his journey asks is, where does my help come from? Or to put it another way, who is going to keep me safe on my journey? And the answer we see repeated time and time again in this psalm is, the Lord. If you look down at the psalm, you'll see the title of the Lord repeated five times. In verse 2, the pilgrim says, his help comes from the Lord. In verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. And then again, the Lord is your seed. And then in 7 and 8, the Lord is mentioned twice. So the Lord is a title for God. So this pilgrim knows his help comes from God. God will keep him safe. However, he knows this God who helps him is not just any God. In verse 1, we have the image of him on his journey to Jerusalem, looking at the hills around him. And he says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Now, from some of the other songs of ascent in this series, we know he's probably looking at the hills surrounding Jerusalem. And as he looks at them, he gains assurance. But where does this assurance come from? Well, we see it stated in verse 2 that his help comes from the Lord. But if we read on in verse 2, we see that he says his help comes from the Lord who's created heaven and earth. And as he looks at these hills, he remembers this God who is helping him created these hills from nothing. And not just these hills, but everything else in the world. The seas, the sky above, and all the creatures that inhabit them. So what he's thinking is, this is a God who's so powerful to be able to do all of this. And he's the God who's protecting me. If this God who created the world is willing to keep and protect me, well, I can be pretty confident he'll be able to. So let's just stop to ponder this. Imagine being in this pilgrim's shoes. He faces a potentially arduous journey and he's getting worried about it. But then he remembers the God who created the whole world is going to be his protector on his journey. He can't get better security. So we might get the same feeling today. You just imagine if someone gave you the task of walking through one of London's rougher neighbourhoods. I won't say which neighbourhood, just in case I offend anybody here. But imagine you were given the task to walk you through that rough neighbourhood with £200 of cash in your pocket, carrying a laptop, and then listening to your iPod at the same time. So the question is, would you feel safe doing this? Well, no. But how about you took on the same task, but walking by your side was a fully armed SAS soldier? Well, you'd feel a lot safer because you would know this is someone who is completely qualified to keep you safe. They have a track record of being able to handle the rougher side of life. And so it is here, but multiplied for this pilgrim on his way to Jerusalem. He knows the infinitely powerful God who created these hills around him, and the whole world is on his side. He will help him, and he will keep him safe. So this pilgrim has complete confidence in the Creator God to keep him safe. And reading this, we could feel a little jealous, maybe. So if he keeps this pilgrim safe, a logical question would be, well, can he keep me safe from all that threatens me in this world? So the question is, can we apply this psalm to ourselves today? We've seen that God is the keeper mentioned in the psalm, but who does he keep? And this is the second point on your sheet there, which we'll look at briefly. So who does God keep? Well, in verse 4, we have the answer. The pilgrim says that God who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. As I mentioned, the person writing the song was a Jew, part of the nation of Israel, God's people in the Old Testament. And he assumes that the people reading this psalm are that they are Jews too. So he's saying this protection and keeping only applies to God's people. And if you were an Old Testament Jew, you would know that you know from your Jewish history that God had done that time and time again for his people. He protected them time and time again. If we look at the book of Exodus, we have the account of how God rescued his people from slavery. And he protected them from the Egyptians, bringing them back into slavery, then protected them again as they traveled through the wilderness. And this account carries on into the book of Joshua, where God leads his people to the promised land and then continues to protect them as they fight to take the land. So the original reader of the psalm seeing the phrase in verse 4, he who keeps Israel, we know it to be a fact from his history that he had learnt growing up. In Israel's history, God constantly showed himself to be faithful in keeping his people safe. Now, to illustrate this, I saw a story on the BBC News website last week about a report saying Britons visiting the Czech Republic need a disproportionate amount of assistance from the British Embassy there because of all the hen and stag parties that they take there to Prague. Now, this is a bit embarrassing if you're British, but I think there's an important lesson in there. Even though these drunken Brits are losing their passports and money in a foreign country, British embassy officials will help them to get passports and then get home. So why are they doing that? Why are these embassy officials helping them? Well, because these people are British. If I'm French and I lose my passport in Prague, I can't go to the British Embassy for help. And so it is with God. He'll only keep and help those who are his people. Now, in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel were God's people, but from the New Testament until now, God's people are those who trust in Jesus as their Savior. Christians, to put it another way. Now, we all start in life with a broken relationship with God because of our sin and rebellion against him. But Christ, through his death on the cross, can reconcile us to God so that we can be part of God's people too. So for us today, as we read the psalm, we can confidently say God will keep all Christians safe. All the promises in the psalm of being kept safe by God are for those who trust and love Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian, I'm afraid they don't apply. So if you would like God to be your protector, you need to be one of his people by putting your trust in Jesus as your Savior. Now the next question that comes as we read the psalm is, well, how effective is God's keeping of his people? And this is the next point that's down in your sheet there. Now, to put it another way, if God's protecting me, well, what's that going to look like? We've already seen that because he's a creator God, his care is guaranteed. However, the psalmist also describes a few more aspects to his keeping. First of all, his care is personal. Throughout the psalm, there's an assumption that God cares personally for his people. If you look at verse 1 and 2, the pilgrim says, "My help comes from the Lord." And then the rest of the psalm seems to be constantly addressed to the reader. In verse 3 we read, "He will not let your foot be moved," which is possibly a reference to the pilgrim not stumbling on his long and tiring journey because God is there with him, watching over him. And then we read, "He who keeps you will not slumber," in the same verse. And then in 5 and 6 we read, "The Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand." So here we have the image of God being a constant companion to the pilgrim on his journey, right by his side, protecting him from the blazing sun. And as we've seen already, this applies to you if you are a Christian today. He's your constant companion who watches personally over you on your journey. So his care and keeping for his people is personal. And it is also constant. Coming back to verses 3 and 4, we read that the God who looks after his people doesn't slumber or sleep. He'll never nod off unexpectedly. And in fact, he never goes to bed to sleep at all. Even while they sleep, God keeps his people safe. His care is constant. And this is reinforced in verse 6, where the pilgrim says, "The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." Again, he likens God's care to being there with the traveller on his journey, shading him from the fierce sun, and then as the journey continues on into the night, protecting him from the dangers of the night. So God is a constant, reassuring presence for his people. So his care and keeping for his people is personal and constant. And finally, we see in the psalm that it's also everlasting. In the final verse of the psalm, we read, "God will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Now, going out and coming in simply means it's just another way of saying whatever you do in life. And the picture is of whether leaving their home or returning to it, God will be there watching over his people. And if you are a Christian, this care for you starts now and lasts forever, from this time forth and forevermore. So his care and keeping for his people is personal, constant, and lasts from now until eternity. Now, when I thought about this type of protection that God shows his people, I was reminded of the US Secret Service, who have the responsibility of protecting the President of the United States from assassination. Whenever you see George Bush on television, you'll normally see some dark-suited men following him or standing nearby. And these guys, their protection is personal and constant for the president. Wherever the president goes, they go by his side and they guard him and his family all the time. And the protection is also long-lasting. Even when a president steps down, they continue to receive this protection for years afterwards. But this is where the illustration of the Secret Service falls down, as their protection doesn't last forever. But God's protection for his people does. So isn't it good to know that if you are a Christian, you have this type of care shown to you by God? He's a God who guards you personally. He's doing it now, and he's never going to stop doing it. You can trust him to keep you safe forever. And if you're not a Christian, I hope you can grasp what you're missing out on. A personal relationship with a God who is able to constantly keep you safe forever. So to sum up, so far, we have got a creator God who is supremely qualified to look after his people, who does care for them constantly on a personal basis, and who will continue looking after them from now and forever. But as we've been going through this picture of a God who guards and protects his people, you've maybe been thinking, well, is this really true? Are God's people, are Christians, really kept safe from all the terrible things this world can throw at us? Another way of putting it would be, if God does keep his people safe, what does he actually keep his people safe from? And this is the final point on your sheet there. So what does God keep his people safe from? Well, the answer to this is in verse 7. Have a look down at that. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. So God will protect his people from evil and death. God will keep me from evil if I'm a Christian. So does this mean if I'm a Christian, God will guard me from being sick, having an accident, or any other kind of physical threat? Well, we know from elsewhere in the Bible that this is not the case. And you've got another set of verses there on your sheet from Luke 21, 16 to 19. So why don't you look down at them while I read them? And this is Jesus talking about those who follow him, talking about Christians. And he says, "You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives." Now Jesus is saying, if you follow him, are one of God's people, then you can expect opposition and even the possibility of being killed for it. But then he says, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. So it seems like Jesus is possibly contradicting himself. And his statement here also seems to contradict verse 7 in the psalm, which promises that God's people will be kept from all evil. But we need to see this promise of protection as not a promise that we'll have a cushioned, pampered life if we're Christians. There are many other parts of the Bible which show that Christians can expect all kinds of evil things to be done against them because they are Christians. But this promise means that we will be protected in such a way that we'll be able to deal with all of these threats, even if at the time it's difficult. If we think back to our history, it's like a knight wearing armour. Now, wearing armour meant a knight was protected, but he still had to go into battle and fight. And so like this pilgrim on the way to Jerusalem, if we're a Christian, we're on a journey through life with God at our side. We can expect all kinds of spiritual attacks which will try to throw us off course. But with God protecting us, we can stand firm as his people. And then the ultimate threat, the ultimate evil God will keep us safe from, is death. He keeps us from evil and protects our life if we are Christians. We've already seen the Psalms say that God will look after his people now and forevermore, which is a bit unusual because it implies God will carry on keeping his people after they have died. We know that no one in this life lives forever. So how is that possible? Well, in verse 7, when he says he will keep your life, this word life can also be translated as soul. So our souls are the spiritual part of us, which is eternal and which lives on when we die. So what the psalm is saying is that if we are one of God's people, he will keep our lives safe in his keeping now and forever. And we see this ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. In the famous words of John 3:16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So if we trust in Jesus, we'll live now and forever. So ultimately, this is what the psalm means. Even in the face of serious opposition and threats to our physical life, if we are Christians, God will keep our life safe. And ultimately, we have nothing to fear as we have eternal life through Christ Jesus. And when we die, we'll go to be with him. So let me read 21, 16 to 19 again, which should now hopefully make more sense. "You'll be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives." So even if as a Christian we physically die for our faith, ultimately we gain life. So we've seen God as a creator God who's well qualified to keep and protect those who are his people, that his care for us as Christians is personal, constant, and everlasting. And what he keeps us safe from is evil, and he promises that ultimately he'll keep our lives safe eternally. So to finish, let's just apply this in a few ways to us here today. If we're Christians, and there are many things in this life which can threaten us or distract us from being Christians, it could be that we face opposition from family or work colleagues for trusting in Jesus. Maybe sometimes the stress of work just feels too much, or maybe we feel constant anxiety about something, whether it be terrorism on the tube or illness in a loved one. I found myself recently that with the arrival of our first child and a busy job, that spending time with God each day sometimes gets cut short, or sometimes just doesn't happen at all. So these and a myriad of other issues could distract us from God and mean we stop going on as a Christian. But what we need to do, and I need to do, is to ask God for help in all of these situations so he can protect us from evil creeping into our lives, so that we don't drift from him or reject him. So go on, ask him for help. I know that's sometimes hard to do. Most of us probably just love to deal with things on our own. I know I do. But why would we do this if God's there to help you? He will personally protect you and keep you safe if you're one of his people. As the letter of Jude puts it, he is able to keep you from stumbling as a Christian. And as Christians, we should also be thankful to him that he'll keep us safe until we die and beyond. This should be an immense comfort to us. We should feel immensely secure in God's promises to us that he'll protect us and bring us home to be with him forever. And being this secure, we should tell others about it. If I had a burglar alarm fitted on my house which 100% guaranteed against break-ins, I'd want to tell other people about it as well so they could be protected too. And so we should be encouraged to share this wonderful news of a God who protects his people to all who will hear it. And I hope if you're not a Christian here today, you have understood what you're missing out on. A lot of people strive in this life for security, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, or financial. But God is offering you eternal security now through his Son, Jesus Christ. So the question is, wouldn't you like to have this? If you would, why not come and talk to me or John or James or Jane afterwards, or maybe somebody you know who's a Christian. And John also mentioned the Christianity Explored course, which is run here, so you can find out more about these things. And that'll tell you about the security that God offers you through his Son, Jesus Christ. So let's pray now. Father, we thank you for the chance to look at the psalm. We thank you for the message of security that it has for us. We pray that we would trust your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could have that security too. And we pray this in your name. Amen.